The Sundance Film Festival opened this week in Park City, Utah. One of the films screened there is Symbiopsychotaxoplasm, Take 2.5. It's a sequel to a film that was never released, Symbiopsychotaxoplasm, Take 1. That movie has become something of an underground legend since it was shot in 1968. Its fans include the late Anthony Quinn, Oscar-winning director Steven Soderbergh, and actor Steve Buscemi. Those two helped filmmaker William Greaves make the sequel that's premiering at Sundance. Pat Dahl reports and promises to explain that title.
Steven Soderbergh first heard of Symbiopsychotaxoplasm, Take 1, after a friend told him about a rare screening at the 1992 Sundance Film Festival, only a few years after Soderbergh made his own reputation there with Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
He said, "I don't really know how to describe this film other than to say, I think you'll like it." He also described at the screening that the projector broke down part of the way through, and Bill Greaves stood up and said, "This may or may not be part of the film." And so at that point, I knew, well, this is something I have to see. But it took me a couple years to track down a video cassette.
When Soderbergh finally saw Symbiopsychotaxoplasm Take 1, he discovered a dizzying film within a film as cameras recorded a crew shooting an unconventional drama in Central Park. Different pairs of actors repeat and improvise on the same scene between an unhappy couple.
"Why don't you just get out of my life permanently?"
"Oh, stop acting, will you? I mean,
don't touch me."
"Come on, Alice, stop acting."
"No, I said don't touch me, please. Don't ever touch me ever again, ever."
Writer and director William Greaves, who's on camera in the film like everyone else in the casting crew, says Symbiopsychotaxoplasm Take 1 is a metaphor for the turmoil in this country over the Vietnam War. The crew shooting his film eventually protested against their leader's apparently senseless directions.
"I set up a series of situations that they couldn't possibly live with. We were violating a lot of conventions of the traditional Hollywood film procedures, you know, with very specific rules and regulations of how you should shoot a film and where the camera should be and, you know, all of that sort of thing."
The crew met secretly and, in the spirit of Greaves' concept, filmed themselves arguing about whether their director knew what he was doing.
"You're taking away a director's film from the director."
"But he doesn't have to use any of it."
"No, he doesn't. He doesn't. But to clarify the action."
"The thing in our minds is we wonder if the director knows what's in his own mind."
Greaves knew exactly what he was doing, according to Jim Hoberman, chief film critic for The Village Voice.
"To me, he seems to be playing an incompetent director. And he does that extremely well. I mean, so well that the crew is convinced, certainly. But that's not who he is. He's a professional filmmaker who had made many, many documentaries before he embarked on this."
In fact, William Greaves had made about 100 films by 1968. As a young man, he'd been a modern dancer and an actor on the New York stage and in movies. But around 1950, he left acting after being offered one too many of what he calls Yaza Master roles.
"So I thought it'd be a good idea if I got behind the cameras and started making films that were much more true and more positive than what had been coming out of Hollywood and a number of other places."
But Greaves found the doors shut tight in the United States.
"Couldn't get into the mainstream motion picture industry with a crowbar. I mean, it was a very racist industry. There was no question about it."
So he left. And in 1952, he was accepted as an apprentice at the National Film Board of Canada, where he began making documentaries.
"Documentaries were at the centerpiece of my efforts at that time because America was in deep need of truth, truth-telling in the media."
As the civil rights movement gathered steam in the early 1960s, Greaves came home. He continued to make films and television programs about African and African-American culture and history. He co-hosted and produced Black Journal on public television, winning an Emmy. Symbiopsychotaxoplasm Take 1 was like nothing he'd ever done before, or since, until its sequel this year. Actor Steve Buscemi, an indispensable presence in independent films such as Fargo, and a director with his own film at Sundance this year, became friends with William Greaves in the 1990s. When Buscemi learned Greaves wanted to complete his long-planned sequel, the actor readily signed on as executive producer. Buscemi even learned what symbiopsychotaxoplasm means.
The phrase comes from symbiotaxiplasm, which was coined by the social scientist Arthur Bentley, who wrote this book, Inquiries. The phrase symbiotaxiplasm has to do with interchange of dialogue, of how environment shapes human behavior and how human animals affect their environment, how we alter our environment, and how those alterations then affect us. And so Bill inserted the psycho part of it to explore creative thinking and what role does that play in the interchange of dialogue. And if it sounds like I don't know what I'm talking about, I don't.
Symbiopsychotaxiplasm Take 2.5 uses footage Greaves shot in 1968 and new scenes, hence the 2.5 in the title. Greaves brought together some of the original crew and cast in a 30 years after variation with the same provocations he visited on them in 1968.
What exactly are you trying to do with this second thing? I mean, surely what we're doing at this festival is not enough to make a film. It's a part of a larger vision that you have. What is that?
I don't know.
Greaves again plays his role as the bumbling director and instigator, but the sequel shows, perhaps inadvertently, how America has changed, says Steven Soderbergh, who kicked in his own money to help make the film.
In the first film, in Take One, that energy of sort of questioning authority and the expression of the individual is so present. And in the second film, it's not as present. If you want to draw the parallel between how people, young people responded to Vietnam and how young people responded and are responding to Iraq, we seem much more willing to accept what we're told and what we're shown at face value.
One thing that hasn't changed is William Greaves' desire to act, but on his own terms.
Don't you dare tell anybody that I want to do any more acting again. I absolutely forbid it.
But there you are. There you are in, you That's know, true. In these no, two I, celebrated
once
films.
Once an actor, always an actor. What can I tell you?
William Greaves has always had the reputation of being someone who could do anything, even if he had to create his own roles or change careers or countries to do it. And just maybe Symbiopsychotaxiplasm, Take 2.5, will find a distributor at the Sundance Film Festival and give a wider audience the chance to step into the world of William Greaves. For NPR News, this is Pat Dowell.
That's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jennifer Ludden.